This afternoon, the chief executive of Wells Fargo stepped down in the wake of a scandal over the bank's sales practices. The resignation of CEO John Stumpf comes less than a month after he faced intense grilling from lawmakers. Wells Fargo chief operating officer Tim Sloan will take over as CEO.
Those who prophesied doom before the referendum have been proved wrong. I think, obviously, it will take time before the full benefits of Brexit to appear, because after all, we haven't even begun to the process of leaving. So, you know, the whole thing is really very artificial and speculative.
So this is another step in the process for Snapchat moving closer to actually going public. They've hired Morgan Stanley's Lefley, Goldman Sachs. Right now, five other banks have also been hired as joint book runners. So these banks have been hired, and next thing, they'll be finalizing the documents here for a potential public offering.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10, and today is Thursday. It's October 13th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day, a busy Thursday morning here on The Opening Bell. Lots to talk about today, as you heard there in the opening montage. Some big stories yesterday. Biggest among them, Stumpf is out at Wells Fargo. He's left. Apparently, it's a retirement sort of thing. He wasn't apparently fired, but he is retiring immediately, according to the company. And boy, what a golden parachute he gets. If you think about all of the things that have happened at Wells Fargo, he stands to gain at least, according to some estimates, $200 million as he leaves that company. Wells Fargo, of course, in the news recently because of some shady dealings, I guess is the best way to describe it. It's all under investigation, but they were opening fake bank accounts, according to the government, credit cards accounts as many as well. Banking industry's most powerful figures, John Stumpf is out. Also today, we're learning a little bit more about what the Federal Reserve was thinking when they decided not to raise interest rates last time. Lots of stuff came out of the minutes release yesterday from the Federal Open Market Committee meeting in September. It appears that the hawkish members of that group were concerned and are concerned that monetary place is not policy is not being taken seriously, and that they run a really whether or not people are starting to believe them, they think they're not even being believed anymore, some of them. The bottom line from this, they're ready to raise interest rates. It's likely to happen in December. It is a divide on the Federal Open Market Committee that we haven't seen in a number of years. Even some of those who are generally against raising interest rates seem to be leaning in that direction, although they didn't vote for it. We'll have more on that coming up as well this morning. Lots of banking news to discuss this morning, and that's why we've brought in one of our thought leaders from Associated Bank this morning. Chuck Garcia is Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management of government and banking financial institutions at Associated Bank, one of our new partners here on the Associated Bank on the Opening Bell. And we've wanted to discuss with him today. First of all, Chuck, good morning. Welcome to the program. Some of the developments that we've seen, Wells Fargo, the Federal Open Market Committee, Janet Yellen talking about maybe changing stress tests, a lot to discuss. Let's start first, Chuck, with these stress tests. Do you see these changing? I mean, I know that banks have to do these on a regular basis, but do you see these changing, and how might it affect local banks?
Well, I think the debate is on, which I think is a good one. The current situation of stress testing, particularly on very, very large systemically important banks, the JP Morgans, et cetera, a certain level has been imposed really below them to markets that aren't as systemically important to the whole financial system worldwide, U.S., et cetera. So I think the debate and the discussion of modifying that, giving it a different look for banks of different size, I think is really, really important. And for somebody who's in a bank, knowing the cost, the time, the effort that goes around the stress testing for a bank like ours is very significant.
How costly is this for a bank like Associated Bank? And is this something that impacts consumers at all at any level?
Well, it, you know, I can't give you the exact number at Associated Bank, but it's a significant number and growing because, you know, there's other levels of regulation and different scrutiny from the regulatory environment that beyond the stress testing. Does it affect consumers? I'd say at a certain point it has to, because additional cost means that we're not either investing new products, people, branches, you pick it, that it has to be deployed in other areas that aren't necessarily revenue generating or giving something to the consumer or our commercial clients either way.
I'd like to describe it to people who aren't familiar with this industry as sort of a fire drill at school, where you have sort of all hands on deck, you have this fire drill. And so at the very least, you're sort of taking people away from their normal jobs to do these tests. And that in itself is impactful to consumers, isn't it?
It very much is. And or you have to actually create new jobs for people that this is their primary responsibility versus people that could be out talking about solutions to clients, you know, be they private banking, consumers, whatever the case may be. So, yes, it very much has an impact.
These stress tests are done annually. And Janet Yellen before Congress said that perhaps that might change. The schedule of them might change and the size and scope of them might change depending on banks. What did you hear from her in that regard, and what do you think might happen?
Well, I think it's logic. They're applying better logic, in my opinion, of again, different tiering for different sizes of banks and the systemic importance of those individual banks. I think that that's really a wise thing to do. Where do you make the appropriate cuts in terms of asset size for a bank? I think the numbers I'm hearing are starting now at $250 billion. It seems to be a logical number when you think of the different banks that are that would fall into that bucket versus the wide, wide array of numbers that are in between that $250 and $50 billion that it is today.
Chuck Garcia with us from Associated Bank today, the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management and Manager of Government Banking and Financial Institutions. Our thought leader conversation will continue this morning here on the Opening Bell on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Some stocks of local interest we're watching this morning. Sears Holdings up almost down almost 1.5% this morning. We're also watching United Continental off almost 1.5% as well. It's earnings season. United is going to present its earnings, I believe, tomorrow. We have a bunch of other earnings coming up as well. Chicago-based Groupon, by the way, also off about 1.5% pre-market this morning. It's 5:20.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, weak China export data is disappointing investors and renewing concerns about the health of the world's second largest economy. U.S. stocks did gain some ground yesterday, the Dow closing up 15.5 points at 18,144. The S&P added 2.5 points, the Nasdaq lost nearly 8. The embattled CEO at Wells Fargo has announced he's stepping down as the nation's second largest bank deals with the scandal over its sales practices. John Stumpf's retirement is effective immediately. He also is giving up his title as chairman. Hurricane Matthew damaged or destroyed more than 1 million buildings, forcing businesses from Florida to North Carolina to put thousands of people, at least temporarily, out of work. Estimates from Goldman Sachs put the storm damage at $10 billion. And New Jersey gambling regulators have approved a New York firm to become the first in the United States to deploy skill-based slot machines on casino floors, in which payout is determined by the player's ability. The machines aim to attract young gamblers who grew up playing video games. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Our thought leader conversation this morning focuses on these developments in the banking world today. The Wells Fargo CEO out, as you heard Jim say there. He is out amid this national uproar that erupted after regulators accused the bank of creating more than 2 million fake bank accounts and credit card accounts. Company admitted to firing 5,300 workers over several years. In our thought leader discussion this morning is Chuck Garcia. He's the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management, Manager of Government Banking Financial Institutions at Associated Bank. Chuck, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. As soon as I heard this, I thought, well, the banks have been building trust since 2008. And here this comes along. Does this hurt everybody down the line?
Well, it hurts everybody. And I think Wells Fargo is a fine institution, to start with that. But it hurts everybody in the banking industry because those that aren't close enough to it can paint us all with the same brush of we're out there trying to cheat people, take money inappropriately, not pay back what we should be paying, give to the community, et cetera. So it really just opens a can of worms that we don't want to have as an industry. And so whether it's Wells Fargo or any other bank, it hurts all of us. And it hurts a public trust that we all have to build up. And I will tell you, at Associated Bank, we take a lot of care to do that. We put a lot of attention into selling, offering, discussing the right things for the client at the right time for the right reasons. And again, it hurts all of us that are, you know, day in, day out, really trying to do the right thing.
Is there anything for another, like a business owner or even a consumer for that matter, who comes in to have a sense of the trustworthiness of a bank? We could use Associated Bank if you like as an example, but how do they know that when they come in that's up front and you guys are being trustworthy?
Well, I think for me, one of the cues I would give to potential clients, be they consumers or commercial clients, it really, in my mind, the difference of a commercial client is the assumption is they have a knowledge of some level of services. Sure. But on a consumer basis, if people begin to talk to you about things that you didn't ask for, I think that's a big tip of, you know, wait a minute, I didn't ask for this. Now, the other side is, I think a good banker will also educate, in the sense that if you're aware of X, Y, and Z product, education, I think, is a really important thing. Pushing product on people is a very it's inappropriate and really something we all have to guard against. And so I use the term solution selling. You know, you may not know that we have a particular offering of a product, again, be you consumer or commercial. Mm-hmm. I believe it's our responsibility to say, well, if you haven't heard of, this is something that you might be interested in. If I'm signing you up for something that you didn't say, yes, I would like that, that's a very, very different sales situation, et cetera.
From the inside, give us a sense of how bad this is for Wells Fargo. I know we don't want to talk bad about the competition, but in Illinois alone, $30 billion suspended. Yes. California pulled its money. It's a huge deal. It's more than a ding, isn't it?
Well, more I think, even than the obvious financial impacts on them, the reputational impact on the individuals, the brand. You know, you think of the Stagecoach. It's a brand that they spend a lot of money and effort to build. The brand impact is, I don't even know if you can put a number on it at this juncture.
Yeah. So does this open an opportunity for banks like Associated Bank and other smaller banks and other regional banks?
It does. It does. I think when clients feel like they haven't been treated fairly, they rightfully so should be looking for somebody to give them a better option. You know, whether it's a community bank, a bank like Associated Bank that is community oriented but has a broader product set, it most definitely offers opportunity for all of us.
It's surprising to me that these states, Illinois, we'll use Illinois as an example, $30 billion they had in Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo is not based in Illinois. It's not based anywhere close to Illinois. Why isn't that money invested in community banks like Associated Bank? Why not spread that wealth among local banks?
Good question. Public fund deposits are pretty complicated. Can be a very complicated situation in that they require collateral. So many community banks don't have excess collateral to offset those types of deposits, so they aren't as able, perhaps, to offer up their deposit gathering. Now, we certainly are very interested in public fund. I manage the public sector group as part of my responsibility area, and we're very interested in that. But yet again, you have to do it with eyes wide open, because there is a collateral requirement that, again, not every bank has the excess wherewithal and collateral to support those. But it most certainly offers an opportunity for all of us.
Has the state of Illinois contacted you at all about that?
They have, yes.
Oh, that's very nice. So give us a sense moving forward then, if from a consumer standpoint, should we be pulling our money out of Wells Fargo and moving it? Is it just a group of people that's caused this problem? Or in your opinion, is it a bigger issue with Wells Fargo?
I think it is probably a very finite group of people that had poor behavior, poor oversight too. You can't, as a leader and a manager, I would, you know, point the finger first and foremost at myself. So back to your question, I would encourage people to look at what's best for them individually. I don't think Wells Fargo is a bad bank by any measure. Frankly, it's a very good bank. But I think consumers, commercial clients have to look at what's the right answer for them. And hopefully we're a good answer, and there are other good answers in the marketplace for that.
There at Wells Fargo, there was this incentive program, I think, that's at sort of the heart of what's going on there. A lot of institutions have incentive programs. A lot of companies run incentive programs. And somebody asked me recently, well, don't these always lead to sort of criminal behavior or some wrongdoing? That's not the case, is it?
It is not. No, it is not. Again, you know, the headlines tend to gather everybody again in a mass. And the reality is you're talking of a true, true handful of people that that were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And again, I look at from a management perspective, management oversight is absolutely critical, whether you call it incentive plan, bonus plan, whatever the case may be. They're important to the industry. However, it's like anything else. If they're not properly set up, if they're not properly monitored, there's always a subset that will look to game something. It's like any other industry.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of Janet Yellen and Federal Reserve policy, monetary policy, there's this will she, won't they, will they, won't they raise interest rates. Are you in the camp that says December?
I think they will. Yeah. I think they will. Again, then you put it in relative terms of, you know, 25 basis points. It's important, I think, that we begin to get on the proper uptick. It's so artificially low today that, yes, I hope and I do believe they will.
We've had this discussion a lot in the opening bell about monetary policy, but in other recoveries, there have been multiple interest rate hikes.
Yes.
So we're behind the curve on that. Does that concern you at all?
It does. And then you look at the whole world economy, too, and the impacts that conceivably this could have on other parts of the world. But, yes, I do very much believe that we've lagged far too behind, in my opinion.
Chuck Garcia, great conversation this morning. Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management, Manager of Government Banking, Financial Institutions at Associated Bank, and our thought leader conversation this morning here on 720. Make sure you tune in every Thursday for our WGN Associated Bank thought leader conversation. You can find our past conversations as we build them up at WGNradio.com.
From ABC News, tech trends. Having a hunger pang at a basketball game won't necessarily make you miss all the action thanks to a new innovative app. You're courtside at the big game and suddenly hunger hits. Should you leave now and risk missing the winning play just to get a hot dog? Artificial intelligence is coming to your rescue if you're an Indiana Pacers fan. The team is partnering with a tech startup called WaitTime to set up concession cams accessible by an app. It takes pictures of the lines at concession stands every 10 seconds at the arena, so you can know in real time how long a wait you'll face and whether it's worth your time. You can also decide before you try to leave your seat whether a hot dog, a burger, or a pizza is the best and most efficient choice. Similar cameras will be set up at restrooms, so you won't rush out of your seat just to hurry up and wait. Concession owners will also be able to tap the app to know where to send more supplies or workers to shoulder the extra demand. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. As we continue here on our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell, we have some developing news out of the UK this morning. A couple of developing stories we want to pass along to you right away. First of all, Scotland is moving now for a second independence vote from the United Kingdom after the Brexit issue. This would be the country's second such vote. This just developing this morning. We're hearing from Sky News that the Scottish government is preparing a draft for a vote on this that could come within the next couple of months. Also today, we're hearing that a legal challenge over Brexit will begin there after the British Prime Minister, according to some members of Parliament, has done an end run around them in hopes of perhaps triggering this Article 50 that would allow a country to get out of this Brexit exit debacle. This is going to the highest court in the UK. They will decide whether or not Theresa May has the authority to move forward as she is doing on this. We'll continue to follow both of those stories here throughout the morning on 720 WGN. Well, you know, for me, for you probably too, if you're an older person, it is sometimes difficult to learn new technology, Snapchat, all of these other kinds of things, Instagram. If you have trouble with these, sometimes watching a video and seeing how people do things and getting what they're called hacks, life hacks or hacks for these sorts of things, it really is easy. When you see one of these videos, it's like, oh, okay, that's how you do it. And that's sort of the idea with the Blogettes. And we're happy to have Sakura Considine with us this morning. She is the head of this, founder of the Blogettes. Sakura, thank you. I understand, first of all, welcome to the opening bell.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think you're in Chicago, right? I mean, you're kind of traveling the country, traveling the world, really, kind of getting people familiar with the Blogettes. But give us an idea of what this is, what you do.
Yeah, so basically Lorena and I started our company about 3 years ago with the intention of, you know, getting to travel once a month to a different city and empowering what we like to call the creative entrepreneur age right now, as everyone wants to be their own boss, whether it's you start a blog or whether you have a, you know, online business. It's so easy to start a business in today's world thanks to internet and social media, but it's so hard to stand out from everyone else. So we basically wanted to teach a workshop on what we call as a branding workshop. So we have a blogging day, a social media day, and a Photoshop and Lightroom day. And that idea that we had 3 years ago kind of started evolving into doing webinars and such. But we are in Chicago this weekend for our branding workshop, so we're really excited to be here.
It is. I think you sort of underestimate the challenge that even just individuals have, self-employed people. But it's really difficult to learn how to do Photoshop and learn how to do social media and do it in a way mm-hmm. that's going to actually help grow your business. And you guys sort of do on you have YouTube videos and you post other things and you do like a hands-on. The video, you show us how to do it. It's very easy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So we have our YouTube channel that makes it really easy for you to understand. When we started our company 3 years ago, we weren't people from the UK, from Australia were finding out about Blogettes and wanting to attend our workshop. But obviously our workshop is in person, right? So we started doing webinars and creating these short little YouTube, you know, tutorial videos, but mainly the workshop is our big thing that we get to do, that we travel. And so we typically go to these major cities. You know, we come to Chicago typically once a year, and this weekend is our workshop weekend here.
Yeah, I want to make sure people know it's October 14th through the 16th this weekend, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.,
yes.
950 West Fulton Street. So how do people take part in this? Do people buy tickets or do they just show up?
Yes. So you have to register online at our website. And again, like, you know, we make everything super easy. And I think people are very intimidated by social media, creating a strategy for yourself, even Photoshop and Lightroom. But it's actually really easy. And we make it's very hands-on. That's the nice thing about our workshop is it's very hands-on. So we understand that being an entrepreneur, in the beginning, you have to have a budget. You have to, you know, be careful with your time so you don't spend 3 hours on making a flyer on Photoshop or anything like that. So we really help save time and a lot of money for a lot of the entrepreneurs. So, again, it's so much fun and it's motivational and inspirational and super hands-on. So, yeah, we make it super interactive.
If you could give us a sense of, because the things that I see you guys talking about are stuff that it's like, well, I did, because I took classes and learned how to do mm-hmm. some of this graphic stuff, and so I have the knowledge, but there's stuff even that I didn't know, these little things, these hacks. How do you find out this stuff? What are your backgrounds? Are you just sort of in the know, mm-hmm. or do these things magically come to you, or how do you figure these out?
You know, it's funny. My mom was a graphic designer, and so I started doing graphic design when I was 12, and I was making custom MySpace profile, teaching myself basic HTML coding in middle school, and that was basically my first business, you know, starting doing that for my friends. And, you know, I just did it for fun, and I never in a million years thought I would be teaching this. And as I grew up, when I first graduated from ASU, we're from Arizona. We're based out of Arizona. But when I graduated from ASU, I had started my first business, and my business partner had another business as well. And we understood how important it is for you to know all the things that we teach in our workshop. And that's why we really wanted to have this workshop. But we learned through personal experiences through our other online businesses. My business partner, Lorena, she has an MBA for finance, but she got into the internet business world as well. And, you know, she has a huge, huge online woman's website that's based in Mexico City. She's from Mexico City, and it's huge. But again, we learned so much about social media, so much about, and I went to school for business and marketing. So it's just, we learned so much through our experience and a lot of trial and error and a lot of, you know, money wasted that we just were like, why don't we teach, you know, these other entrepreneurs today our mistakes and where they can save money and all these amazing tips and tools and the strategies that we've learned through our business. And even from starting Blogettes, we've learned so much. Our world is, our business world is ever evolving. So it's important for us to keep, stay up to date with everything that we teach our students.
We have just about a minute left, but I want to, you said earlier that this doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard, but it is at the same time very important. If you don't do it the right way, it could end up hurting your business, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Everything that you post on social media, even if it comes to a picture and it's not edited well, and, you know, again, people are so judgmental in today's world that if they say that, oh, well, their Instagram account doesn't look good, then their business probably isn't that good. Their work isn't that good. So again, it's so important for you to have a great brand, understanding your branding, as well as know what you're putting out there and how you're going to be perceived by your customers.
Sakura Considine is the co-founder and creative brand director for the Blogettes, again, in Chicago this weekend, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for their three-day branding workshop. It's at 950 West Fulton Street in Chicago. We're going to link people to your website so they can get more information, find out the details of this, but we appreciate you being with us on the opening bell. Thanks for coming to Chicago.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are off in a big way this morning, down 95 points. The S&P and NASDAQ also lower. It's been a rough night in Europe amid continuing Brexit issues there. Let's find out the latest from commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, during the month of September, the soybean crop, already a record, got a little bigger. On the other hand, the corn crop, a record, and it will remain that way, got a little smaller. The October crop report put soybean production at 4,269,000,000 bushels. That's about 68 million above the September forecast. Average yields to 51.4 bushels an acre, and that's up from 50.6 in September. Corn production at 15,057,000,000 bushels, with the average yield put at 173.4 bushels per acre. These bumper crops, if they're harvested, have been weighing on the market. Soybeans, for example, down 21% from their 2016 peak in June, and corn has fallen 22% in the same period. Yesterday, wheat, corn, and soybeans all traded lower. Not any good news in the cattle market again yesterday. Live cattle futures finished lower for a fourth straight session. And we saw the October live cattle contract down $1.50 a hundredweight. And a few cash cattle sold in Kansas yesterday at $98 a hundredweight. The morning choice beef price yesterday down $1.38 a hundredweight from the report on Tuesday. So, tough day in the cattle market again. You have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. A couple of other stories that are making headlines this morning we want to pass along to you. First, an update on the situation in the UK. We mentioned earlier that Scotland is moving forward with another vote on potentially leaving the United Kingdom, or at least declaring their independence from the government there amid all of the Brexit controversy. Also this morning, there's a new recall to report for Toyota. Toyota recalling about 340,000 gas electric hybrid Prius cars around the world for a defect in parking brakes. This recall involves about 212,000 Prius cars in Japan, 94,000 of them here in North America. So let's check the economy, the day ahead, and the outlook for the day from Associated Bank and WGN. The Labor Department will report today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Freddie Mac will release its report on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. Earnings season begins in full swing today. The biggest of those will be Delta Airlines. We expect earnings coming from them before the market opens this morning. All of these could drive the markets as we move toward the opening bell. We will continue to follow your money throughout the morning here on 720 WGN, and we would be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the opening bell.